Hey, how's it going?
Good. Wow, it's amazing when the kids leave how empty it is. I'm not used to this. For those of you who don't know, I am your children's pastor's intern for the summer. I think I know most of you, actually. But I'm really honored to be up here this morning and to get to share with you my heart. I'm incredibly nervous. There's something about talking to you guys that kind of like gets my heart racing faster than talking to the little people and the youth. But I was praying and just talking to the Lord about kind of how to manage this morning, and I just kind of heard him say, like, talk to them like you talk to your youth. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. At youth on Thursdays and on Sundays, it's more of a conversation than it is like a lecture. So I would love it if you guys would like, I'm going to get you to read some verses out for me if that's okay, and to just laugh with me. Please laugh with me. And like interact. I feel like that's what makes like a good time, because otherwise it's a have to be here instead of a want to be here, and that's like, we're not down for that. Okay? Sound good? Yeah? Cool. So we're gonna jump right in, actually, with me getting you guys to read a couple of verses for me. So if you have a Bible on your phone or the Vineyard app, I posted a lot of verses on there. We're just gonna touch on a couple of them this morning. Would I be able to get someone to look up Matthew 9, 35 to 36? Yours ends at 38? Go for it then.
Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep without a shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands.
Second, could I get someone to look up Matthew 14:14?
And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick.
Thank you. Could I get someone to look up Mark 1:40 to 41?
On one occasion, a leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing, saying, "You have the power to heal me right now, if only you really want to." Being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, "Of course I want you to be healed. So now, be cleansed."
Awesome. Thank you. And there's one more. We're going to look up Luke 10:33.
But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he was filled with compassion.
Okay. There was a key word or a key interaction that took place in all of those verses. Did you guys hear it? Healing, accurate, yes. Compassion. The Lord has been taking me on this journey. I've been reading through the Gospels of learning what successful ministry looks like. And learning what it looks like to be Jesus to people on a practical, everyday level. I'm too much of a practical person for my own good sometimes. When I read through the Bible, we read about extremes, right? You mentioned healing. In the Gospels, there are so many miracles, and there is so much healing going on. And when we think about the word ministry and how we're meant to model our life after Jesus, it can be really, really easy to go, okay, I'm supposed to do the miracles, I'm supposed to do the healings, which, yes, we're called to do that. It's easy to grasp onto that only. And so for a practical person, for me to read through that and go, oh, I don't do that on an everyday basis, it can be really incredibly intimidating and really incredibly easy to feel like a failure as a Christian. Because I don't know about the rest of you, I don't make a habit of seeing like a minimum of 10 people healed a day. If you do, talk to me. We need to be friends. But that's not, I can't say that as a 20-year-old girl from Canada in 2019, that is my normal. Right? And so reading through the Gospels, this has been a fun journey of God going, actually, I think your understanding might be a little bit twisted. And him just kind of realigning me to actually what it is and what it looks like, what ministry looks like. Making sense so far? Are you with me? So I'm reading through the Gospels, And the first verse that we read out, Matthew 9:35-36, was the first one. I actually have my old journal out here with me. Was the first one that caught my eye. And I journal when I read my Bible, just things that stick out to me, like, oh, fun little lessons, because if I don't write them down, they won't stick and I won't be living life well. It says, Jesus moved through the crowds and he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease. So we've got the healing, right, that you mentioned. When he saw the crowds of people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary and helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. And I was like, wow, yeah, that's cool, man. It's really interesting how actually compassion was the thing that motivated the miracle. So I wrote, I'm going to read you my entry. I wrote, the prerequisite to Jesus' miracles was the movement of his heart towards the people who received them. He saw them like God saw them. And how is that? Worthy of love, in need of a savior, hurting, and valuable and worthy of being noticed. Right? Our ministry begins with a burning in our hearts to see the people in front of us encounter the love of their Heavenly Father. So I highlighted some things. I was like, man, Shayna, that's deep. And I moved on. Read through. And it's just kind of, it was like a routine kind of journal entry, right? You don't think anything about it. You just appreciate it for what it is. And then a couple days later, I read through Matthew 14:14. Which is when Jesus landed and saw a huge crowd waiting for him. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion towards them. So he healed all the sick in the crowd. Funny. Different crowd of people. A very similar situation. And my entry on that day is almost like word for word what I had written a couple days before. There was a prerequisite to the miracles. He was moved with compassion, and he saw those people with the eyes of the Father in need of love and, frankly, worthy of the love that they were being given. And so when you write things two times, it begins to stick out a little bit more, right? I have a paper full of, literally right here, a paper full of mentions of the word compassion or of the movement of the Lord's heart towards the people that he was standing in front of and the people that he was encountering. Something that really, really stuck out to me was this word compassion. Because, you know, it's not written all the time when Jesus does a miracle. It's not written in every record of the book. You know, sometimes if you read this testimony of a miracle in Matthew versus Luke, one will use the word compassion and one will not. I was struck by how frequently it is used, though, because I can safely assume that Jesus never actually didn't feel compassion for people, even though it wasn't written, because God is unchanging. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so I can actually assume that Jesus had a heart for, you know, person A, just like he did for person B, even if we didn't write it for everyone. And I begin to really, really consider the way that we teach about ministry and about the way that we live like Jesus. Because a lot of the time we talk about the extremes, right? A lot of the time when you go to a conference or you go to a typical Sunday morning, you're talking about how can we live life large, right? We talk about the five steps of healing. Boom, 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 boom. And we're given almost like formula after formula of how to do ministry well. And I can't remember how frequently I hear, just listen to what God has to say for this person and then do that. Are you still with me? Okay, good. Can we play the video now? Okay, so I was thinking of a really funny way to kind of illustrate this point for you guys. One of my friends, this has a birthday in winter, and I live with her. And this year, we were planning to like go out and take her out for dinner, but it's winter in Toronto, and so we ended up getting snowed in. And so there are four of us that live in the house, and so we were kind of like scrambling together what we could do to celebrate this girl. We made banana bread.
Okay, Mom. We made baking powder today. Nope. We made banana bread today, and we didn't put the baking powder in. And I went to go cut it to put it away, and look at it. It's like rubber. What? What happened? That's so gross.
Cool. For the record, that's not an accurate representation of what my baking skills look like. I've been making banana bread all summer, and it's been bomb. So we didn't have any baking powder at the house, and we had to... You can't make... You can't. It doesn't work out. So I was trying to find a way to kind of illustrate how actually important the posture of our hearts is towards the people that we're like this with, right? And I was trying to think kind of like, what movie clips could you pull? What pictures can you display? And this video came to mind right away. And I think it's honestly like, it does a good job. Jesus did nothing without compassion. He did nothing without having the heart of God for the person who was right here. And it's really easy to read over that. I'm 20 and I just caught this. It's really easy to become so familiarized with the stories of the miracles and the story of the extremes that we forget the little moments, right? Before the 5,000 were fed, Jesus had compassion. Before the leper was healed, Jesus had compassion. And you don't always see that, right? I'm sure it didn't always look like Jesus bawling on the beach before he multiplied the food. You know, it didn't always look like Jesus going, oh, I feel for these people, right? Sometimes I'm sure it was a little moment, a little Holy Spirit moment where Jesus went, okay, Lord, this one. Okay, Lord, this one. This one. And it's the ones we don't see, just like you don't always see like baking powder and banana bread. It's really easy to think it's not necessary. Turns out it's actually a key ingredient, and it doesn't work if you don't use it. Make sense? The second that we can take a step back and actually tune in to what the Holy Spirit is saying, I think is the moment that you do ministry well, whether or not the person is healed, whether or not an extra limb grows or metal in a bone disappears or, you know, someone starts crying. It's actually, your ministry has nothing to do with the quota of your actions, but actually the movement of your heart towards the person. This has changed the way I live my life. Because first, it takes the pressure off, right? It becomes harder to feel like a failure. Because actually, it has nothing to do with whether or not you can perform well. And has everything to do with just how you connect and the effort that you put into seeing the person that's right here. I've come up with three things that compassion looks like on an everyday basis. And these are just things that I have noticed in my own life that really help. Because we can talk about showing compassion, we can talk about the root word and the Greek language and all that stuff, but if we don't actually know how to do it, how to show compassion, this is going to be a really pointless message. Humility is the first one that I wanted to touch on. And this stuff came to me last night. Humility, don't ever lose it. Don't ever lose it. And if you've lost it, you can get it back. But the willingness to get low, and to count yourself not as less important than the person in front of you, because I don't think that's what God wants for you, but to count yourself as equally as important as the one in front of you is going to be really, really key. Because if we go through our lives claiming that we're Christians and believing that we are more worthy of the love of God than they are, we won't do well. That's where you fail. Right? And there's grace for that. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But if we for a second think that Jesus died on the cross more for us than he did for them, sit down. I would suggest that you don't pray for that person because I would suggest that your heart is actually not in the right place. If you come at it from above, you are not going to be able to actually get on their eye level and say, what is it that you require of me in this moment? if you come at it like this, you are not going to be able to meet the eyes of the person that you are praying for or you are ministering to, right? I'm in school for doing work with kids. And something that we always talk about is that if a kid is escalated, so like really emotionally triggered, really not okay, actually one of the best things you can do is put yourself in their eyesight. Not your waist in their eyesight, but to actually get low. And to say, not do this, do this. And not to act like we are the people who know what's best. Because we don't, because we're not living their life. But to go, what is it that I can do to help you? Jesus did that in the Bible. That's biblical. It was a story of two men who were blind, I think. Forgive me if it's wrong. But Jesus was walking down the street and these two men were crying out for him, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And he didn't go over and heal their eyes right away. He went over and actually said, what is it that you would have me do for you? Interesting. So much of the time it's easy to believe, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell us what's going on. Yes, you will. Absolutely. But we are also human. And so if you walk into that situation with arrogance, I would say you're walking into a dangerous situation. Still with me? We have two more. I have 4 minutes. Cool. Awesome. The second one is authenticity. Another thing that we talk about in school is that children are BS detectors. They see it right away. It's so true, right? They know if you want to help them, and they know if you are there because you have to help them, if you're getting paid for it. As a person who's going in to work with kids, you have to make sure that you are not letting task get in the way of relationship. I was thinking about this one, and that came to mind, and I don't think humans are any different. Or humans, oh my gosh. I don't think adults are any different. We are also BS detectors. We have just learned to tolerate it, right? People who you're in close relationship with, you know when they're lying. You know when they're not okay. Difference between you and a kid is they'll call it out. Mommy, are you upset with me? Mommy, what did I do to hurt you? Versus, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Have you ever noticed that when you go and intentionally tell someone about the Lord, or you intentionally go to pray for someone, or you intentionally go to give someone a prophetic word, that they are actually less touched by the miracle or the healing than they are by the fact that you took the time to listen to what's going on? I can't remember a time where I have gone to pray for someone and they've gone, I didn't get healed. This was a waste of my time. Every time I have gone to someone to pray for them in any context, it has been, you know, that's okay. It didn't work. Thank you so much for trying though. Thank you so much for praying for me. I would say that actually what's important is not whether that miracle was completed or that healing was. That's not your business. That's God's business. What's important is whether or not they felt loved in that moment. Were you rushing them through when they were telling you what's going on? You know, they're telling you about their life and you're going, okay, can I just pray for you though? Because I gotta go. Adults are BS detectors too. And if we don't live our life with an authentic love for them, that's all. So we have 2 points so far to compassion. We have humility, we have authenticity, and we have the Holy Spirit. Probably like baking powder. The Holy Spirit, I would say, is like a baking powder ingredient. Key to the recipe of our ministry. Okay? It's probably the most obvious answer because we're in church, but it's one that we cannot ignore. Jesus set a model in the way that he lived his life that demonstrates that we constantly need to be going back and interacting with God on a one-to-one level and being filled with his Holy Spirit so that when we're in a crowd, we function out of the overflow of the Holy Spirit. You will notice Introverts, this will make you happy. Jesus frequently ran away from the crowds. Right? He tried to escape. He went up the mountains. He went into the forests. He intentionally separated himself from the people that were like following him. This man was in high demand and he was going, I just need to get away. I just need to spend time with the Lord. I just need to spend time with God. And through that time away, through that time that he was able to rest and rejuvenate, he was able to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could pour out of the overflow. How did Jesus know what miracles to perform in each moment? Have you ever considered that? I would bet that in the crowd of the 5,000 that were fed and in the crowd of the 4,000 that were fed, that there were probably a few broken bones, maybe a couple headaches, that there was some heart hurt going on, some trauma. Yet Jesus knew to multiply the food. Some people didn't get a physical healing. Some people were told they were forgiven and to go and function in the reality that they were seen by God. Some miracles were extreme and some were what we would consider less. How did Jesus know what to do in those moments? Because he took the time away to actually make that connection with the Holy Spirit. He did nothing that he didn't see his Father do. Everything that Jesus did was a direct mirror of what the Father would have done. Because he was so connected, because he was so in tune with the heart of God, that he was able to see the need of the person in front of him. And that then loops back into the other two things that we just talked about. Because he had a heart of God for the person, he was able to see their need and fulfill what they needed in that moment in such a profound way that they went, oh my gosh, God is real. The reactions in the Gospels are pretty important to pay attention to, because you will notice that everything Jesus did was a method of introducing people to God. That's what your ministry is. I would say if you're looking for a definition of what ministry is, it's the way that you introduce people to God. So I titled this Follow the Leader because Jesus set a model for us in terms of how we're supposed to live our lives and how we're supposed to minister to people. None of it is on us in terms of the miracles and the healings. The only thing that is on you is the posture of your heart. And the only thing that is required of you guys, of us, as the church, as people who claim to follow Jesus, is to go where God goes, is to follow the Holy Spirit, and to ensure that at all times we are so in tune with the Holy Spirit and with the heart of God that when there's something going on over here and God goes, we go. That is successful ministry to me. In Romans 12, verses 13 to something, it says, take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. And do your best to live as everybody's friend. That's our posture. That's our ministry. And these interactions that it talks about, living in harmony, being mindful of other people's well-being, celebrating and weeping with those who celebrate and weep, requires a heart-to-heart connection from us to the other person.